The next case is 08359 Transrail America Inc. versus James J. Einert, MD. Ms. Olson.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. I am Kim Olson for Amicus Curie, State of Ohio. Robert Coker for the Trumbull County Board of Health is with me at council table. I will be arguing for 6 minutes. Robert Carl for Amicus Curie Help will argue for 7 minutes, and I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. Your Honors, a final action is required to trigger the Environmental Review Appeals Commission's jurisdiction. Here, the letter Commissioner Einhart sent to Transrail requesting more information was not a final action. The court below read EREC's jurisdictional statute, RC 3745.04B, to include a freestanding grant of power to order the Ohio EPA director or Board of Health to perform an act. But this power is remedial, and EREC may exercise its remedial power only if EREC first reviews a final action and determines that action is unlawful or unreasonable. Requiring a final action to trigger EREC's jurisdiction comports with the appeals process the General Assembly created in Chapter 3745. The term act or action is used throughout the chapter, and several provisions make sense only if there is a final action. For example, subsection D of .04 requires an appellant to appeal within, quote, 30 days after notice of the action, end quote. Without an action, there is no way to determine when an appeal must be filed. Requiring a final act also makes sense considering the General Assembly's division of labor among agencies and EREC. Environmental agencies, like the Trumbull County Board of Health, are staffed with technical experts whom the General Assembly has entrusted to issue, deny, modify, or revoke licenses and permits. EREC, on the other hand, is authorized to review actions to determine whether those actions are lawful and reasonable. And RC 3745.05 limits EREC's jurisdiction to this inquiry only.
The statute is what, you know, you have to go back to the words of the statute, and the statute says that they have the right to issue an order to the Board of Health to perform or act. When you hear so many complaints about agencies that take forever and ever and drag their feet, and perhaps there's some rationale behind the legislation's not saying you could appeal only a final appealable order, or they have lots of statutes that define final appealable orders. They don't put that language in here. They said to perform or act, and if they're not issuing a license and they're dragging their feet, as the allegations make, that's not performing. Is there any legislative history at all around this act that anyone has to determine what they actually meant, because the language of the statute seems to be what the 10th District has said it means?
Well, we investigated legislative history, and there was none in this for the statute that was helpful on the subsection B. However, I think if you consider the entire chapter as a whole, the appeals process only makes sense if there is an action to review. As I was just saying, in .05, EREC can only determine the reasonableness and lawfulness of an action. So here, if there's a freestanding grant of power for EREC to simply tell a commissioner, Board of Health, agency, or director to perform an act, that's a much broader ability.
But it doesn't just say to perform an act. You keep using that phrase. And there's lots and lots of statutes that exist on all sorts of administrative agencies. You know, the PCO, that you can only appeal a final order. Here it doesn't say to perform an act, it says to perform or act, which seems to indicate that they're giving people the right to appeal the failure of the EPA to perform, or the right to perform.
Yeah, there is an opportunity to request EREC to order the commissioner or the director or commissioner of a Board of Health to perform an act. But as I was saying before, that ability is only remedial, because there must first be something that EREC is reviewing, and that review must be of a final act. So they do have the authority to order that, but it's in conjunction with first reviewing whether or not the initial determination was reasonable or and lawful.
So you are reading to perform an act. You're reading out the or.
Or ordering the director or Board of Health to perform an act.
But yeah. It doesn't say an act. It says perform or act, correct?
Subsection B says that you can appeal to ERAC for an order vacating or modifying the action of the director or local Board of Health or ordering the director or Board of Health to perform an act.
Maybe my version's wrong. I'll check it.
In 3745.04, Your Honor.
Counsel, in your view, is there ever a time when the health commissioner's continual determination that the application is not complete become a final act that can be appealed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Essentially a virtual denial?
Yes, Your Honor. As ERAC said in its opinion, there is a point at which continual incomplete determinations would be a de facto denial. And that's what happened in the Kane Park Apartments case, where ERAC said, well, the director, the Ohio EPA director, did not say you were denied this permit, but they said we're treating this as if it's never been filed. So that was a de facto denial. So at some point that could happen. Here, that's not what happened because the commissioner was asking for statutorily required information. But yes, at some point, a recalcitrant commissioner could just be using this process as a de facto denial. And at that point, ERAC's jurisdiction would be triggered.
In this case, ERAC is, if I recall correctly, reviewed the action of the health commissioner and said their determination that it was not complete was reasonable. Before they decided that it wasn't a final order. So they, in fact, did engage in this analysis to see whether it was a reasonable determination as opposed to saying we don't have any authority to look at this at all. Did I read that correctly in your view?
I think you did read the decision correctly. I think the proper analysis would have been for ERAC to look at completeness only as to determining whether or not there was a final order. And once they determined there was not a final order, they did not have jurisdiction, and they should not have made a reasonableness determination as to the completeness at that point. ERAC will have to inquire as to completeness in part to answer the jurisdictional question, but they should not go beyond that. At this point, I would like to invite co-counsel to speak.
Thank you, Ms. Olson. Mr. Carl.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. My name is Robert J. Carl, and I'm here on behalf of the Amici Party, HELP, or referred to as Hubbard Environmental and Land Protection. I would like to first address the issue of the act or action that was raised here, that when the ERAC had the letter before it could take jurisdiction of the case, it made a three-part analysis as to whether or not the letter, the incompleteness letter, from the health department was in fact an act or action. It first looked to the language of the statute, finding that the language of the statute did not allow it to take jurisdiction of the letter. It then, under the case law, went to the form of the actual document. There is a four-part test that allows the ERAC to in fact determine whether or not there is indicia of a final action. The four factors are you look at to whether or not the director, in this case the health department, in fact signed the letter. Does it have language contained within the body of the document identifying it as a final action? Third, does it contain information that tells the applicant of its rights to appeal? And fourth, was it entered upon the director's journal? In this instance, the ERAC was able to deduce from the letter that only one of the four criteria were present. Again, it determined that it was not a final action under the form test. So it went to the last test, which is set out in the case of Dr. Kevin Lakes versus Shrigardis. And what that is, as well as the DPNL case, is when the ERAC is looking at a letter, again in this case, it needs to determine whether or not the act or action of the director, or in this case, the health department, adjudicates with finality the legal rights. And in that instance, there's a five-part test. In this case, what the ERAC did was it determined that in this particular case, the incompleteness designation letter was in fact an intermediate step in the continuing process. When it determined that, it then was able to say that in fact it could not or would not take jurisdiction over the incompleteness letter. To answer a question that you asked of my colleague with regard to whether or not is there an instance where the director, or in this case, the Board of Health, could actually either completely ignore or stonewall or not act on a completeness designation that would in fact deny, de facto, if you would, deny the application. In this instance, we believe that in fact there would be such an instance. The ERAC pointed it out in its footnote, and such an instance, of course, would be covered by precedent, which would be the Kane Parks decision that was in fact raised by my colleague. In that instance, what the director of Ohio EPA did is it literally took the application, deeming it not complete, sent the application back to the applicant, which the court said was in fact a denial. The second instance, if I might, is if you look at the five-part test that I just spoke about in the substance, would the decision of the director be such, or the health department be such, that would affect a substantial right? In this case, if there was something in the record that would say that the health department would not, under any condition, grant or in fact find something complete, then in fact I think there is a denial, and I think that the ERAC is correct.
You're very unlikely to find that when it just simply is a matter of determination, unspoken determination, that we're just going to drag our feet on this till they go away. Now, we're not talking about this specific case because we're not writing law just for this case, but for future as well. And I think there is a concern about what do you do when a director of the health department simply uses the incompleteness as an excuse for not acting on it.
In that instance, Your Honor, what I would suggest is that they do have a remedy, and that remedy would lie in mandamus. If in fact the applicant decided or was able to determine that in fact their application was complete under the regulatory requirements, they could go to a court of general jurisdiction, this court, the Court of Appeal, or the Common Pleas Court, and seek relief on mandamus. The process under this regulatory scheme is that before the director or the Department of Health can make a determination on an application, it must determine that the application is complete. That is a mechanical type of evaluation that looks through the application, makes sure all the questions are answered. It makes sure that, in fact, the information that is necessary to make the actual decision on the application is present. If you look at
Farrell, that's a very interesting argument that you advance by way of mandamus. But the statute that Justice Stratton was talking about with Ms. Olson, 374504B, says that any person who was a party to a proceeding before the director of the Environmental Protection may participate in an appeal to the Environmental Review Commission, and then it says, for an order ordering the director or board to perform an act.
Well,
so why would you have to go to the Common Pleas Court for a mandamus if you can undertake an appeal for an order ordering the director or the Board of Health to perform an act? That's really what we're here on, isn't it?
Your Honor, that is the engrafted language right there. That phrase is what the 10th Appellate chose to, in fact, grant this new freestanding authority to the jurisdiction of the ERAC. No court has ever interpreted that way.
But the fact is, you've just argued to us, I think in answer to Justice Cupp's question, an aggrieved party may go to the Common Pleas Court to get a mandamus. But there isn't any need to do that in a separate proceeding when you can undertake an appeal under the language of the statute for an order to compel the director or the board to perform an act, that is the act to undertake review of this application or determine other actions about it.
I do not believe that the legislature intended to grant that power as open as you have just raised it. And the reason is if you look at the dissent from Judge French. She, in fact, said that when you look at that language or ordering the board or the director or board of health to perform an act, what it means is that when a final action is before the court or before the ERAC, and the ERAC makes a decision either to overturn the action of the director or to affirm, in the instance of it overturning, it would issue an order back to the director to, in fact, say, act consistent with our decision. That's how it was interpreted by Judge French. It also, that same language was interpreted by the courts in State v. State v. Wilson. That's correct. What the court in that instance said that is that when you look to that language, you look to the context of that language, what you're doing is actually putting into practice, in fact, what the decision was of the ERAC.
The problem, though, is that you've got two sections, which doesn't appear. Most statutes talk about, you know, you appeal the final order. Here it talks about participating in the appeal of an order vacating or modifying, which is generally what you would consider a final appealable order, and then it has the second section, or to perform an act. And that's the concern I have, is you've got two very specific separate sections. And if we take your interpretation, the second section really isn't necessary because they already got that power in the first section.
Well, if you look at the intent of the statute and you don't just read out that particular language, and you go to the different sections of section 3704, in each instance, for instance, under jurisdiction on paragraph B, it talks about an adverse party seeking relief from the ERAC for actions. For purposes of the process for filing an appeal under 374504D, it talks about an appeal shall be in writing setting forth the action complained of, and it shall be filed within 30 days of the action. In this instance, when would we know if, as you propose, that if we're looking at demanding that the ERAC can demand that the director or the Board of Health take an action, at what point in time do we know that that 30-day clock starts to tick? Are we saying that if someone gets on the phone and calls the Board of Health and requests that the Board of Health do something, and on the phone they were to say no, is that when the 30 days would start to tick, and then the ERAC would have jurisdiction over that? I think what we want to do is if you look at how broad act or action could be under this clause, in fact, it could be almost anything. If a person were to complain about the director of Ohio EPA not funding a particular project, it could, in fact, bring that action to the ERAC, where clearly it was not intended for that kind of a matter to be heard in front of the ERAC.
You've used your time, Mr. Olson.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Partlow.
Your Honors, Michael Partlow on behalf of the Appalee Transrail America. Having reviewed the briefs again this morning, I believe that the general arguments are fairly clear, but I think that certain areas of focus need to be brought out, and that's what I'd like to do for the court. First of all, with regard to Justice Cupp's question about how this would impact future actions, Your Honor, they're already there. There are several cases that by agreement are on hold at the appellate level waiting for this decision. This is a tactic. And that's one of the areas we agreed yesterday in a meeting I was in that we want to focus on today, is what is an incomplete application. That's something that the appellant chooses to ignore, and frankly, ERAC chose to ignore. An application by statute has to have A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I believe there's six things. You have a complete record in front of you. If the application has those things, it is complete. Period. End of discussion.
Counsel, yeah, I was wondering about that. It would seem, and I haven't looked at what they were saying, it's incomplete, that they didn't like the answers to certain things, right, or the articulation of how we're going to handle this problem or what we're going to
And if you look at that
do
line.
There, and so they were essentially, I assume, seeking modifications in the plan of opening and utilizing the facility.
Yes, but there's two separate things going on there, Your Honor, okay? And this is the scheme, if you will. You've got to read. I agree. I think these statutes are clear, and I think you only indulge in statutory interpretations when the statutes aren't clear. But here's the statutory scheme, okay? You submit your application. It has to have certain information to satisfy the EPA. It just has to be there. I believe it's only like six items. It's not much. Then the director, whether it's the EPA or the board, as in this case, has a right to ask for additional information. They can ask you for all kinds of stuff. But that doesn't mean that your application's not complete. It means that in order to approve your plan, ultimately, there's things due to the particular characteristics of your site or something of that nature that they'd like to know. And that's fine.
In that process, after you present the application,
yeah.
Is it customary for there to be negotiations about what type of materials you're going to bring sure. to this site, what the cover is going to be each day?
I would say in the instance of a landfill, I mean, yeah. There's all kinds of things you could apply for with EPA. But I would say that not only is it common, it's probably the norm, okay, that they're going to want more information or they're going to want you to change something that you intend to do a little bit to conform. The EPA cannot possibly draft regs. They're going to cover every situation from a geographic standpoint. So you've got to go case by case. And they have a right to ask for more information. They have a right to, you know, suggest, well, why don't you change this and that? But that is not the question of a complete application. That is a question of ultimate approval. Okay? Now, we never got that far. The reason that they're saying our application isn't complete, and this is where I disagree with their reading of the Kane Park case, and I invite the court to read it again. The director did not say in Kane Park, you know, here's your application back. What he sent was a letter that said, your application is incomplete, and if you don't do a complete one in 2 weeks, we're going to send it back. That's what happened, okay? The impact of all this is statutory again. For example, in our case, there was a change in the law. And if a complete application was not already on file before that change in the law, then you would have significantly different requirements that you would have to meet. And that is the way it was written, and that's why.
And counsel, in this case, ERAC said it wasn't complete because they reviewed the, as I get it from the briefs, they reviewed what in fact was filed and agreed with the health commissioner that it was not complete. Therefore, it's not a final order that we could act on. But they also made the determination it wasn't complete.
Yes, they did. And they did so without a hearing, which we are entitled to by statute.
Mr. Partlow,
and we would love to address that.
Are you arguing that the completeness of the application is the final appealable order? Because it seems as though we're talking about either the approval or the denial being the final appealable order. Well, here.
That's what they're talking about.
Well, and isn't that the usual situation, as you just argued?
Not in ERAC proceedings, no.
Well, but as you just argued, they weren't really finished with what they were doing. You had a second chance to provide additional information.
No.
And
no,
isn't
no
the
Your Honor. Here again, I need to clarify that. That's two different things. Saying we would like some additional information and saying your application is incomplete is two different things. For your application to be complete, there's only like six things you have to give them.
But where does it say that the completeness of the application is the final appealable order? What part of
the
statute?
It doesn't. It doesn't say anything is a final appealable order. But it doesn't specify that way.
See, that seems to be an intermediate step. You have a complete application, and then it's up to the board to determine whether to grant or deny. That's the final appealable order. I don't see where your completeness of the application is what is appealable.
Well, so that's just subject to no review whatsoever.
Well, it would be subject to review, would it not, when the board acts and either grants or denies. Then it goes to ERAC, who has the jurisdiction to look at it and to determine whether to uphold what the board has done or grant it if it should have been granted. In other words, performing the act. that the appellant can ask for.
Here again, Your Honor, this statute is written in the conjunctive. It gives ERAC much more power than a normal court of appeals under the appellate statute, okay? It gives ERAC power to, in effect, do a writ of mandamus, unless you are going to strike those words from that statute, Your Honor. Now, if you're given a writ of mandamus, in effect, to ERAC, then why would you go to a common pleas court to do it? I mean, that is the logic there. What's happening here, Your Honor, is if you look at this record, we submit an application. It comes back incomplete. And in that initial one, we don't even know why.
Let me, did the application, was it returned to you, to your client?
At that point, I believe it was. And you know, that
it didn't just say they wanted more information. They actually returned the application and said, we can't accept this application?
In the first instance, yes. Not only that, Your Honor, I'd like to point out, by statute, a determination that an application is incomplete
means it's not filed. Find that in the record, will we?
Yes.
Okay.
The second time then, so we, you know, what actually happened then was either a phone call or a letter, I forget. What is it you want? Because the first one is so vague, you don't even know what they want. The second time, well, we want A, B, C, D,
that's typical of any administrative agency where you're applying for something. They want more information, phone call, give us more, or letter, whatever, more information. That's not an order, though, is it? That's not a modification or a revocation of a license or a permit?
No, Your Honor. If they ask
for
us
disapproval of a plan,
and
we would have
no complaints if that's what they'd done. They said our application was incomplete. That has a legal impact. They can ask for all the information
they want
by statute.
Do you think ERAC, every time the department says an application is incomplete, ERAC should be able to second or review that
decision? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really?
And that's what the law has been for 27 years.
Statute. I have the burden of finding the statute to be a little more complicated and unclear than you do. But let me ask you this. B, under 04B, says any person who was a party to a proceeding before the director. That's the past tense. That suggests that something has happened, that the director is done with his or her action. Was a party. Not is a party, but was a party. Doesn't that suggest that there was some final action, that the director is finished, either refused or didn't, or all of that language under that defines act? Those are fairly technical words. They're not words that just say that ERAC can sort of second guess the director in the process of the director deciding whether to grant a permit.
And I'm sorry, Your Honor, I keep going back to this because I want to drive it home. This isn't about granting a permit.
Well,
this is about whether our application is complete. And there's no second guessing. It's very clear. There's either six things there or they're not. Now, there's
Mr. Partlow,
all sorts of questions that come up.
The question I have for you is that the administrative code regulation seems to say an incomplete application shall not be considered. How do you deal with...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Administrative Code 3745-2702A provides that an incomplete application shall not be considered.
Right.
Well, how do you say that it is appealable if the regulations say they're not supposed to consider them?
The determination that it's incomplete has to be appealable. How do you get over the hurdle? And that's why I would suggest this statute is written the way it is. It doesn't say final appealable order. It is not the same as your typical appeal statutes.
So, counsel, what you're saying is the ultimate determination, or the initial determination, I should say, of the completeness or the incompleteness of the application is the crux of the review that allows ERAC to take a look at that juncture. And it has nothing to do with granting or denying. It's just the application or the applicant's contention that this is, on the four corners of the document, a complete application.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the health department saying, You may have answered all six questions, but we have some additional questions, and they cannot label that an incomplete application.
Absolutely. That is exactly our argument, Your Honor. And the reason for that is this. You can have a complete application, and maybe the health department says it's not. So you go to Iraq, and they say, yes, it is, and you go back to the health department. Well, ultimately, they can still deny that.
You still enter into negotiations or give and take in, yeah,
and
information.
And more information and all of that, yes.
Counsel,
yes, Your Honor.
Counsel,
and that's
this,
what this case is about.
In this case, you, as I understand the record, you have a letter from the health commissioner saying the application's not complete.
No, we have three or four of them.
Is there any letter from your client saying, excuse me, but it is complete and we have nothing further to submit?
Yes. Yes. The final time, what kept happening, if I just may finish answering that, the initial communication was very vague. We didn't even know what they were talking about. Then they clarified that. We provided what they wanted. Then Bennett Williams comes in the scene, and all of a sudden you got this whole shopping list of things they want. We give that to them. It's rejected again with a new list that wasn't on the first list, wasn't on the second list or the first list. Each time it's new things. And it's crazy. It's absolutely insane. How do you deal with that? And here again, that, I would concede, would be fine if you were in the phase where you've got a complete application and now are we not going to grant this permit. Then there's going to be, you know, you ask me a question, I give you the answer, and maybe based upon that answer, you have some other question. Yeah, that's perfectly logical. And that, you know.
But Mr. Partlow,
fine.
We don't have anything in 374504A, or in this case, defining the action or act to include the issuance, denial, modification, or revocation of a license, permit, lease, variance, certificate, the approval or disapproval of plans. None of that occurred here. We're simply at the point of an application trying to decide if it's complete or incomplete.
That's the point we're at, I would agree. But as you pointed out, I believe, Your Honor, the regs say if the application is complete, it's over. It can't be considered. It stops right there.
Counsel.
Say that again. It can't be considered.
Considered, yeah. I believe you pointed that out just a few minutes ago. It cannot be considered. Yes, Your Honor.
Procedurally, yes. If we affirm the Court of Appeals, it appears they send it back to the Environmental Review Appeals Commission for further proceedings.
Yes.
Which, if I read paragraph 14 correctly, is that they must conduct a hearing de novo. Is that what happens if we affirm the
here again,
Court of Appeals? A hearing as to what?
Here again, that the appellant likes to point out all the discretion that Iraq has, and they do. They have some. Right. And I would submit to the court, that's kind of going to be up to them. If they take the narrow view and say the only question properly before us right now is whether or not this application is complete, then they will in turn send it back to the board and say, okay, now you've got to consider this application. If they take a bigger view and want to look at the application in terms of rejection or approval, which would very much surprise me, but I suppose they could, then that's what they'll do. They'll have a hearing. But I doubt that. I see a lot out of time.
Yes, Mr. Partlow, before you sit down, I take it that in response to Justice O'Connor's question, you would argue that the first letter from the agency to your client requesting supplemental information would be enough to trigger the appeal process, right? It wouldn't take two or three letters as we have. It wouldn't take a stonewalling kind of action because if they have the authority, jurisdiction, to review virtually anything that the department does with respect to supplementing an application, yes. then the first letter could be reviewed by URAC.
Would, if I understand the court's question is, would one letter in some particular case possibly be enough? I would say yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, because here again, it's not a huge thing for completion of the application. There's like six or seven things, they're either there or they're not. And would that work? Sure. As a practical matter, I'm not sure people would
always
do that.
Well, in this case, it may be six things, but this case is pretty important, it seems to me, in terms of the precedent that is set for the authority of ERAC. It may not be used very often, who knows, but it seems to me it has pretty far-ranging implications.
Kane Park's been on the books for over 20 years, and we don't see the flood there yet.
Thank you, Mr. Parlow. Ms. Olson, you've used your time, but you may start with 30 seconds.
Your Honor, I would just
very briefly. As part of that 30 seconds, I'd like to ask you this question. Just below the language talking about an act, it also says the Environmental Review Appeals Commission has exclusive original jurisdiction over any matter that may be brought under this section, any matter that may under the section be brought before us. In your view, does that exclude an action in mandamus?
No, Your Honor, because the only actions that can be brought before ERAC are final actions. So we agree that you could not appeal, say, a permit denial to a common pleas court, but a mandamus is unique. So it's a different type of action. And because ERAC doesn't have jurisdiction in mandamus, it's not covered in their exclusive jurisdiction.
Where is the specification that ERAC only considers final orders?
It doesn't actually say that ERAC consider only final orders, but several 10th District cases have concluded that action must be a final action. But the court below, it wasn't that the court below said the action that ERAC reviews must be not final. It just said that they don't even have to have an action to review at all. So that was just the distinction. They actually said that there's a freestanding grant of power where there doesn't have to be an action at all. And that's troublesome for the state for a handful of reasons. The first reason,
Counsel, what in this specific case, it's sent back to do what, is your understanding, if we affirm?
If you affirm, then it will have to go back to ERAC, I think, to actually make the determination. Again, I mean, as Justice Cupp's question was asking earlier, they actually made the completeness determination, but I think it would probably be more proper for ERAC to actually hear that and have a hearing under point 05.
Isn't that what they say, that they have to have a hearing on the merits?
Under point 05, if an adjudication hearing hasn't been held at the agency, yes, if it's going to be on the merits.
And isn't that the determination of the Court of Appeals? It goes back, there has to be a hearing on the merits.
I think because a hearing, well, yes, I mean, it would have to go back to the Court of Appeals, but then they would just send it back to ERAC to actually have that hearing under point 05, Your Honor. But I would just like to mention that this is a dangerous precedent for the state because in the first instance now, an applicant can circumvent the process with the agency and just go to ERAC and ask for a permit. And that disturbs the technical expertise that the General Assembly has attempted to authorize to make determinations about these. Also, as Chief Justice Moyer was mentioning earlier, now ERAC will be able to review anything. Every time an agency or the director asks for more information, ERAC would be able to review that. So it's going to create administrative gridlock.
Well, I would just like to question you on that because I think it is an important part, but it's sort of the argument that if you go a little bit, then you have to go ultimately. If ERAC heard the appeal from a letter which said your application's not complete, wouldn't their determination only be whether the application is complete or not? And if they find it to be complete, wouldn't they send it back to the health commissioner to determine whether or not it should be approved? So they wouldn't necessarily be required to grant or determine whether or not to grant a license in the first instance, would they?
In this case, yes, Your Honor, but if there's a freestanding grant of power for ERAC to order an agency to do something, there could be a next case where an applicant just says, I want you to order this agency to grant my permit.
So that would depend on sort of how broad, if we should affirm, it depends on how broadly we interpret that.
I'm not sure, though, if there's a way to draw that line, because either they can just order a director or commissioner to act without reviewing an action, or they can't. And I'm not sure how you can create that line. It may make common sense, but there's not statutory support for that line.
Counsel, are you, with respect to the scope of this case, I think that's the concern that we have. Are you saying that this is the, if we affirm, it would be the first decision that would say that an agency may review a non-final appealable order? Or are there other cases out there with different agencies where we've taken this position that based upon a particular statute, an agency could review a non-final order?
I have not done extensive research on that question, Your Honor, but I am not aware of any other agencies where a non-final order can be.
I mean, that's the usual position,
right,
that you don't appeal anything unless it's a final order. So if we affirm here, we would be saying at least in this particular, for this particular agency, there's no need for a final appealable order because of the way the statute is written.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
If there are no further questions, the state respectfully asks you to reverse the decision below.
Thank you, Ms. Olson. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. We'll take a brief recess.